Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be here with you all. My name is Alan Wang, and I currently meet in the church in Boston. And have you all been enjoying the Summer School of Truth? Praise the Lord. Just to recap, the first message we saw that God has an eternal purpose, and that is for man to express him and man to represent him. And then in message two, last night, we saw that the way that God accomplishes his purpose is by life. Praise the Lord for life. Young people, I hope you would never forget this. The way that God fulfills his purpose is through life, by eating and drinking him, receiving him as our life. We can fulfill God's eternal purpose. And this afternoon, like Vedans mentioned, we make a turn. The first two chapters of Genesis were glorious, but now we make a turn, and Genesis chapter 3 is not so glorious. Actually, in Genesis chapter 3, we see that man fell to the uttermost. And actually, because man fell to the uttermost, there is a need for man to be saved. But before we get into Genesis chapter 3, I'd like to come back to this question, and I'm glad Vedans brought this up. Y'all remember this question? What are we saved from? Young people, why is this question so important? What are we saved from? Why do we need to know what we were saved from? Well, when Brother Ricky asked this question, he said, this word saved, it implies something. It implies we were in a certain situation, and then we got out of that situation. We got rescued. We came out of that situation. So that word saved, that's what that implies. And young people, would you all agree with me that the worse the situation is, the more thankful we would be, right? That we got out of that situation. Would you all agree with that? And so, for example, let me give you an example. So, young people, some of you, maybe your parents after dinner tonight, they ask you, so and so, can you go clean the dishes? Put away the dishes, wash the dishes, and take out the trash. And to some of you, that may be a very not so pleasant experience because you don't like to do those things, right? But imagine if your older brother came in or older sister and they told you, hey, you know what? I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to put away the dishes and take out the trash. In a sense, you got saved from doing those chores, right? You got saved. Your older brother saved you. But if we're all honest with ourselves, that situation, it's not so bad, right? Doing the dishes, that situation's not so bad. Okay, compare that situation. I'm going to share a little bit. And this comes from one of the darkest periods in human history. What I'm talking about is during the time of World War II. Okay, during World War II, there was a country, Germany. And there was a leader there, and he was very evil. This person was very evil. I would even say, maybe even, satanically influenced. And this person, he had a hate for the Jewish people, okay, this group of people. And what did he do during World War II? He gathered all these people and he put them in camps called concentration camps. And I won't get into details of what happened in those camps, but those people in those camps, they suffered tremendously. They feared for their life. There was a lot of torment. There was a lot of suffering, hunger, all the negative things imaginable. Even, a nickname for those camps were called death camps. Death camps. Okay. In 1945, January 1945, the opposing factors of the war, you know, the people part of the Soviet Union, they came and the first concentration camp was liberated. They were set free. All the people in those camps, that terrible situation, they got saved from that situation. Can you imagine these people, their appreciation, how thankful they were? They were probably full of tears that they were finally saved from that kind of dire, hopeless, fallen, dark situation. Do you see the difference? Young people, this is why we all need to see what exactly happened during the fall of man. It wasn't just that man disobeyed God and, you know, it's a little slap on the wrist. But this was the greatest tragedy in the history of mankind. Man fell to the uttermost. And it was in a pitiful situation. And so, just moving on, getting into the details of what happened in Genesis 3. For those that don't know the story, it starts with Satan coming in, and he deceived man by causing man to question God's heart, God's word, and God's intention for man. And as a result, we all know the story, you know, Eve partook of the knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then Adam also partook of the tree. And they fell. That was the beginning. And you may be wondering, you know, well, that's a story 6,000 years ago. You know, that's a story in the past. That has nothing to do with me. But actually, in God's eyes, he created only one man. Okay? God created one man. He didn't create multiple men. He created one man. And in his eyes, we were all included in Adam. And so when Adam sinned, and then Adam fell, you fell, I fell, your friends fell, we were all in that fall together, okay? And there's a helpful example. Maybe this will help you all. You know, right now, in the current situation, COVID-19, right? Guess where that all originated from, COVID-19. It all started or came probably from one person, right? One person got infected. Got the virus, got the disease. And then through that one person, this virus, this disease began to spread and spread to so many people. And so it all came back. It all originated from this source, this one person. Likewise, in the same way, our fallen condition, our situation all came from Adam's fall. And I'd like to share this verse with y'all. Romans 5:18. Do y'all see this? It says, "So then, as it was through one offense," brothers and sisters, "through one offense, unto condemnation to all men." Oh, Lord Jesus. And then also in Romans 5:12, it says that sin passed onto all men. Through one, sin passed onto all men. So, brothers and sisters, this is our situation. Regardless of whether we were there or not, this is our situation. And it doesn't seem so positive, right? I hope you're beginning to see the situation that we were all in. Okay. And so, you know, in Genesis 1 and 2, we saw that our destiny was to feast, was to enjoy God, was to express God, was to represent God. That was what God intended for us, for to be our life, to be our food, to be our drink. That was our destiny. That was our course, right? But then all of a sudden, man fell, and now he's on a different course, and he's under God's condemnation, judgment. I think Eric will share a little bit of this later, but I was reminded of this picture here. Do you see this? What is this? Okay, this is a train track, and you know, on some train tracks, there's a thing called like a train switch, and what that switch does is it changes the course of the track. Okay. And so, brothers and sisters, you, in Genesis 1 and 2, our destiny was to express God, to enjoy God, to receive God as life. All these things, that was our course. But Satan came in, and he almost hijacked the train, and he made this switch. And so now we're on this course right here. Do you see this? Man is on this downward track. And actually that track, do you know where it leads to? It leads to the lake of fire. That's the destination of this track. And I don't want you to get the wrong concept, but you know, the lake of fire, we may have the thought, well, that's not fair, you know, or that seems kind of harsh. You know, God wanted man to eat the tree of life, and man disobeyed God, and now man's destiny is the lake of fire. That's not fair. We may have this kind of, you know, thought. Well, actually, the lake of fire was prepared for Satan. Did you know that? In Matthew 25 and 25:41, write this verse down. Matthew 25:41. It says that the lake of fire was prepared for Satan. It was never intended for man. But in Genesis 3, what happened was that man decided to follow Satan, to listen to Satan, and even became one with Satan by taking in something of the satanic nature from this tree. And so it's not that God destined man for the lake of fire. It's that man chose to follow Satan. And that's why this destiny, the end of this track, is a lake of fire. Well, maybe I can end early, a little early here. I know Eric has more to share. But young people, I hope you're beginning to see the condition of man during the fall of man, right? What happened during the fall of man? Okay, go ahead, Eric.
Hi, everyone. My name is Eric Romero. I'm from Cambridge, Massachusetts. And it's good to be with you all this afternoon. I know this may not be an easy word to hear. Sometimes it's also not an easy word to share, but this will hopefully give us an appreciation for what we are saved from and what we are saved into, okay? So, you know, an illustration I was considering is that of a family tree. And, you know, we all, of course, have a family tree. You can think back, your mom, grandma, you know, just keep going. Well, spiritually speaking, we also were on a family tree, just like those train tracks that Alan mentioned. You know, God had originated, he had an intention. Man would eat of the tree of life, of drink of the river, be in the garden, enjoy him, be in his presence. That was God's original intention. Okay? This is a wonderful, here's a little family tree from that, okay? It's green. Green is positive, full of life. Okay? That was God's intention. But man fell. And we have to see, how far did we fall? To what extent? What happened? Because when we fell, we actually became part of another tree, family tree. And this is a negative family tree. And the source from the top, it really is Satan. it's the devil. That's where this fallen life began with the devil. And it ends in the lake of fire. And we'll come to this. Actually, you know, even in the Bible, it speaks of this. All man, just like Alan mentioned, all man are under this. And in John 8:44, it says, "You are of your father, the devil." That's a pretty strong verse, but it shows all man began with this source. Now, we're just going to speak a little bit about, and actually, you might think, how does this apply to me? We all began here. Don't forget this. You may be saved. We're saved now, and we'll come to that. That's wonderful. But we have to remember where we came from to appreciate where we are now. No matter who they are, who anyone is, how good they are, how rich they are, how poor, how you know, lovely, we all are on this tree. Okay, so we'll speak about what is it like to be on this tree. And I hope this would resonate with you. We were all here before we got saved. Well, on this tree, number one, okay, you can write this down. We are under God's condemnation. Okay, it should be on your outline as well. God's condemnation. And this is the verse that Alan mentioned, Romans 5:18. It says, "Through one offense unto condemnation to all men." Well, what does it mean to be under condemnation? That's a big word. Well, it means to be guilty. You're declared to be wrong. We're wrong. We are guilty before God. And an illustration of this is, have you ever disobeyed your conscience? There's something within you that tells you when you're right, when you're wrong. Can you say honestly right now that you've never disobeyed your conscience? If you've disobeyed that sense within, that conscience, you've sinned. You're guilty. You're wrong. You are under condemnation. You stole something or you lied and something within you is uneasy. There's a feeling of guilt. That's to be condemned. You know, to have this sense of guilt, this proves, oh man, before we're under condemnation. For example, I was in fifth grade. I walked into a Ross Dress for Less, and then I walked out with a camera. I didn't pay for it. I just took it from the store. Eventually, my mom found out. Of course, I got in trouble. There was a sense within. I knew, that's not right. Don't do that. And actually, maybe we might notice this. As we put aside this feeling again, you can become numb. We can become numb. This happens. This can happen. So this is the first point. Man is under God's condemnation. We just feel guilty. This is a terrible feeling to just feel guilty, wrong. Okay. Another point of what it's like, okay, to be on this tree. This is where you began. Maybe you're thinking of some experiences. Wow, you're right. I was guilty, condemned. I'm condemned. Well, there's something called the wrath of God that is upon man. The wrath of God. This is from John 3:36. It says, "He who disobeys the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him." So, God is righteous, okay? God is righteous in who he is. And man is sinful. So in righteousness encounters man's sin. There's a conflict. Something happens. There's a result, a reaction. A reaction happens when two things collide, okay? So that result is wrath. So maybe an example of this is a jar of baby food. You know, I have a 15-month-old daughter, and sometimes she eats this, not as much anymore. But recently, she went out, took one of these to the balcony, and held it over the balcony and dropped it. She dropped it. What, it hit the ground, it shattered. Just shattered everywhere. That's what happens when a cup hits the ground. So this is like God's righteousness meeting our sin. There's a result. That result is wrath. God's wrath is provoked. God loves man. And this will come in the next message. His heart is for all man to be saved. But when he meets man's sin, this goes against, it's an opposing force to who he is and his righteousness. When God created man, he loved man the best. Man was just the joy of his heart, the joy of his heart. But our sinfulness kept God from being able to accept us. We are under his wrath. And what does this feel like? Well, There's condemnation there. There's guilty. There's uneasiness. Even people are fearful. They're afraid of God. Some who are just about to die, they know, you know, there's a fearfulness. There's a realization, you know, something is, I've been living my life a certain way, even you could say some of the outward circumstances, situations prove that God is not happy. He is not happy with man. Man is just in sin, and this contradicts who he is. But let me give you a little encouragement here, okay? So the wrath of God is not fully manifested. You know why? Not yet. Because God is waiting for us to repent. God is giving us, man, an opportunity to turn back. And actually, wrath in the Bible is a cup. I don't know if you remember Brother Ricky's question. Why does God refer to salvation as a cup? Well, a cup is a portion. It has something. In the Bible, there's something called the cup of wrath. That was our portion originally. On this tree, we were destined to receive God's wrath upon us. But the Lord Jesus drank that cup that we could drink the cup of blessing. Okay. More of this will come tonight. But I hope you realize this is on this tree. Wrath. Wrath is on this tree. This was our situation. Okay, what else? What else is on this tree? This is a terrible tree to be on, okay? This is not a good place. This is not a good place. Well, maybe one more thing we'll touch is, what was our destiny? Where were we going? Where were those train tracks heading? Judgment. Judgment. The lake of fire. Eternal judgment. It's hard to wrap our mind around this. Something that doesn't have an ending. It's a Christless, lonely, sad, suffering eternity. I don't know if you've ever been really sad, empty, lonely, if you ever had this sense. Well, not only was that our destiny, but it's even worse. It's there's fire there. There's anguish. It's in torment. It's worse than, you know, it's a terrible situation. This wasn't, of course, prepared for us. This was prepared for the devil. But when we follow this way, we sin, we are, this is our destiny, this is where we're going. And actually in the Bible, this is also called the second death. Okay, there's actually two deaths that we experience, that, you know, we can experience, someone can experience. The first death, you know, everyone passes away. We all have a time where we pass away. That's the first death. And we go to a certain place that's, and we'll come to this a little bit later. That's a waiting place. It's called Hades or paradise. But in the second death, that is what is here. There's judgment for those who what? Who do not believe. What is the unique sin that causes people to end up here? Is to not believe in the Lord Jesus. That's it. It's simple. You believe, you're saved. You're safe from this, from judgment. This is the trash can for the entire universe. This is where all evil things will end up. And this is where we were going. This was your destiny until maybe you're in sixth grade. You just received the Lord. Wonderful. Well, before you received the Lord, this is where you were heading. All man was on this trajectory. Well, this is kind of discouraging. It's terrible. Actually, there's a summary for what... Okay, I hope you'd write these words down. What does it mean to be on this tree? What does it mean? This is what it means. No hope. No hope. You're dissatisfied. You're guilty. You're failing again and again. No hope. Whatever you try to hope in, it just fails. Just think about this pandemic. You hope in something, all of a sudden your hope is, you're just hopeless. Everything is gone, shattered. What is secure? What is stable? Nothing. Nothing. Okay, this is where we came from. This is where we began. Then you got saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, just shout, hallelujah, I got saved. Amen. Okay, it's wonderful. And you got transferred, okay? You went from... being on this tree, doesn't matter how good you are. We all begin here. We're born here. Sorry. This is just where we start. But then you make a choice. Lord, I receive you as my Savior. Maybe you just did this last week. Hallelujah. Welcome. Welcome to this family. Okay, you're on this tree. This is an awesome tree. there's so much on this tree that I can't tell you about it, okay? Come back tonight. The brothers will tell you all about what's more on this tree, okay? But I'll just like to give you a little testimony. You know, when I got saved, I was 12. I was in sixth grade, just like some of you. And I hope, you know, maybe you seniors, you've forgotten what it was like. You know, maybe you wrote something down. And if you're in sixth grade, I would encourage you, if you remember what it was like, write something down. This will encourage you when you're a senior in high school and you're listening to this message and you can't remember maybe what that was like, or maybe, well, I wrote some things down. This is what I wrote down from when I got saved. I felt relieved. Wow. No more guilt. I'm relieved. There was a burden lifted off my shoulders. And then the last thing I wrote was, I was floating on the air. You know, this is, we can get saved from this. Okay, now we need to come back a little bit, touch more on some negative things to realize maybe some of the things I just mentioned maybe are outside of you. They're outside of you. But there are, actually, we, you know, when we got saved, we look like this, okay? You look like this. God comes into our spirit here. This is a picture of you. But we still have this fallen life, this fallen nature outside of us. I don't know if you can see. We're made of three parts. God is in our spirit, but we still have this red. Why? Actually, we're kind of like in this process where God, like that song, God is spreading. He's spreading. He starts here and he's spreading. But we still have some of this fallen nature in us. And that's why the fall happened 6,000 years ago, but it reached you this week. It reached you this week. Did you lie this week? Maybe you're lying right now, saying, no, I didn't lie. Yeah, you probably did. Did you disobey your parents? When did you start disobeying your parents? You probably can't even remember. Before you can remember, you disobey. Actually, my 15-month-old daughter already disobeys her parents. You know, she's a little older. She can recognize. She knows that's a no-no. That's a no-no. Don't climb on the piano. No-no. Don't drop things off the balcony. And then she does this thing. You know, where she's going to go do something that she knows she shouldn't be doing. And then she looks to the left, looks to the right, and then does it. Okay? Or she looks right at you, and then she touches the trash can. You know, she's 15 months. What? She has this life. She has a fallen life. You know, of course, we're praying the Lord would preserve her as a little vessel to eventually receive him one day. But we were all like this, and we still have some of this nature within us. You know, before you watch that thing, before you open up that incognito browser, you go to that place. Do you ever do that? You look to the left, you look to the right. Is anyone else in the room? Oh, can anyone else see me going here? Looking at this thing, saying this, listening to this. You can't stop. You can't stop disobeying, lying, even cheating. You're in class. You know, something, you know, as you're taking a math test. All of a sudden, the little piece of paper comes around with all the answers. You know, you can't stop thinking evil things about others. Maybe not so evil. You can't stop wanting other people's stuff. You're here on Zoom. Man, that brother has some really cool headphones. I want them. I need, you know, this is just the fallen. This is part of the fall. This is the remnant of the tree that's still within you. Maybe you get caught doing something you shouldn't be doing. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, are you really? You're probably only sorry you got caught. You know, just be honest. Sometimes we can't not do things. Well, Romans 7:24 says, "Wretched man that I am." This is where we are. Maybe some of you sixth graders, you just got saved, you're enjoying, but you still have these kind of sense. You just still disobey, still this, that. Maybe you're in 12th grade. This happens to you. 10th grade, we're all there. The fall is still reaching us. We still need to be saved, young people. So much more. Well, this is the black background. Outside, we're under condemnation, judgment, wrath. Inside, we fail. We're discouraged. I hope you have the sense, wow, this is what I need to be saved from. Amen. I need God's full salvation. Amen. Me too. I'm right there with you. We all need it. But we'd like to end with something just for us to consider. You know, who around you is still having these kinds of experiences? Who is still on this tree? Who is still on this tree? Think about it. Think about it. Your friends, your siblings, maybe your parents, maybe your relatives, your neighbors. Maybe you just received the Lord. Now is the best time. Help others find hope in the Lord Jesus. They're on a direct path to the lake of fire. They're on a direct path to a Christless eternity. Is anyone concerned for their salvation? You know where their eternal destiny is. Change the direction of their life. Change their future. Do this. You know, just a short story here. There's a story about a rich man who never took the opportunity to believe, and a poor man who, although he was poor, a difficult situation, he believed in the Lord. They both end up, this is from Luke chapter 16, they both end up, after they die, they both end up, one was in a place of torment, where actually, you read some of the verses there, he's in a fiery flame, and you know, all he wants is a drop of water to cool his tongue. Terrible. It's a terrible place. That's all he wants. He enjoyed all these things. He ate and drank his whole life. But now, after his death, he realizes God is very, very real. And I miss my opportunity. The poor man is there. And the rich man cries. And the poor man is in a pleasant place. He's there with Abraham, resting. The rich man cries out and says, "Send someone. Send someone to my family. I have 5 brothers. Send someone so that they would not come to this place of torment." Do you realize this? Your friends, Joey, Priscilla, fill in the blank. Your friends who you love to be with, they have relatives who have passed away who are crying out for someone to share the gospel with them because their destiny is on this tree. Maybe in our group times, we could spend some time to pray for, to consider some of our friends. Pray for them. Are you concerned? They would not suffer a Christless eternity. What do we go to them with? Well, in this story, it says they have Moses and the prophets. We have the Bible. Give people the word. Give people the word. We need this true school to be equipped with the word so that we could tell people about Jesus Christ as our salvation. We would save them from a terrible eternal destiny of being in the lake of fire. But not only so, they would not just be saved for eternity, they would experience God's full salvation. So, are you concerned for your, not only to realize, I've been saved, praise the Lord, you've been saved, and I hope you would appreciate what you've been saved from, but are you concerned from others? You know, maybe as you go to the store, maybe you're not going to the store right now, it's okay, but maybe as your parents go to the store, just had this yesterday, the cashier's name was Mark, so I told him, "Mark, did you know your name is from the Bible?" And I share with him Mark 10:45 about the Son of Man who did not come to be served but to serve. Just realize, Lord, may you save Mark. May we have this kind of a heart. Realize, wow, we've been saved, but we want others to also be saved. So maybe this isn't the easiest word to hear, but I hope you would treasure and appreciate your salvation to the uttermost. May the Lord bless you all. Amen. Okay, I think we can go back to Vedance.